Warning: Some listeners may find the contents of this show disturbing. Parental discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to Wild Time with myself, Thomas Janak, here on IndieMedia.ie. I'm joined by Marla Stormwolf Petty and Anthony Damiano from StopCrush.org. Before we started recording, we had a little conversation off air because we had some technical issues last time. So this time around, it's all set to go. And on one hand side, it's really good to be reconnected to you guys. On the other hand side, when we spoke last time, it was quite difficult to understand in the first place why people are doing what you are trying to undo. So for people who don't know what you're doing and think, well, whatever StopCrush is about, can you explain to us again what a crush video actually is?
Thanks for having us on. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Crush films, or what we call animal snuff films, are scantily clad women dressed in high heels, shoes, or boots. They're stilettos. And they slowly impale and crush a living animal to death for the sexual gratification of its viewer. They don't just stop there. I mean, they try to keep the animal alive as long as possible and in as much agony and torment. They also use pruning shears. They set them on fire. They do a lot of horrific things to these animals. There's puppies, cats, rabbits. I've even seen a video where they used a donkey. Mm-hmm. And these are the types of videos that seem to appeal to a certain submersive culture that we're trying to get these videos banned and stopped and legal action taken against not only the producers and the makers of these films and the so-called actresses that are in them, but we also wanted to make it illegal to even own them.
Okay, so the downloading would be then what's wrong with this, or would be then the way to go? Because obviously when they view them, it's very difficult to, unless they download them, to get their IP addresses, isn't it?
It's very difficult.
That's probably what they know, and that's probably the reason why they put it up on YouTube and everywhere.
Well, since the law has been reversed, since it was thrown out of the courts, the Supreme Court in April, it's surprisingly easy to get these films now because it's now legal to obtain depictions of animal cruelty of this nature online.
So the High Court or Supreme Court threw it out, saying this is all part of free speech?
Yes, they said it was a free speech violation to... Well, it originally started when Bill Clinton had enacted the law in 1999. In 2004, Robert Stevens, who was selling films of dogfighting, among other things, he was the first person that they applied this law against. And although it was animal depictions of cruelty, the NRA and the ACLU said he still had legal tenure by saying that it was freedom of speech and that the law was too broad. So it went to a Third Circuit. He was actually prosecuted under this law, but in 2008, a Third Circuit court judge said it was against free speech, and then it went to the Supreme Court in 2009. The Humane Society, among other groups, fought vehemently to keep the law intact, but for whatever reason, the Supreme Court decided that they were going to throw the law out, and they threw the whole law out. They didn't even decide to temper it down or to make any sort of concession. So once that law was thrown out, it pretty much became a field day for animal torture.
Oh, right.
America, it was a really, really bad day.
And I said it last time, you know, and I really think it is a German thing, you know, going on with the statistics. But sometimes I think you really have to throw it at people to get an idea how many animals are we actually talking about that get abused for these film versions of cruelty.
We can't really... know the exact number.
Yeah, but can you estimate? Do you have figures?
But in 1999, when the Humane Society was doing their research, they found easily about 3,000 separate crush videos all over the internet that were readily available to purchase. And that may not sound like a very high number, but when you consider that now that the law has been dismantled, you can go online and you can actually request certain types of crush. You could request the animal, what type of torture you'd like to see, how long it'll last before the animal dies. It's pretty frightening.
And the other obviously thing is that they always say, you know, all the computer nerds out there always tell us, you know, if something happens on the internet 10 years ago, then it's probably quadrupled by now.
I'm sure.
Because obviously you have more people.
The videos that we know about. That's just the videos that we know about.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
There are hundreds of sites. I mean, there are just tons of sites out there basically strictly for just Crush. Obviously, we're not going to give out the URLs.
Yes, please don't. Obviously, but that's the other thing, you know. I mean, we spoke about it before, and I think it's really important that on your website you give an account of what that looks like, but you don't actually upload any videos there.
No.
We're really careful about that because we really don't want children running across the videos, and we are having a larger number of youth joining our groups.
Mm.
And that's just something we don't want them to have to look at. We think that the pictures that we use to get our point across is more than enough. We don't have to show the actual full-length video.
You know, violence is so readily available. You just watch something at noon, and there's violence, and they would have shown that film in my time when I was younger after 8 p.m. So people see a lot more violence in films, and I think that probably has an effect on being used to seeing these videos. Do you think that people connect less to these videos because there's so much out there?
I was going to say is that I'm sure that the depiction of cruelty of any type, especially when garnered at a young age, will certainly have an effect on people as they grow up. It'll make them more desensitized, is basically what you're saying.
Yes.
In my opinion, that goes back to what we spoke about prior, you and I, and Mark, when we talked about teaching children from a young age a respect for all life.
Yes.
And that falls on the parent.
And divide the community in a way.
Yes,
you
I
know,
agree.
Because also, you know, obviously, animal cruelty is an indicator crime. We people know that people that are cruel to animals will not stop there.
Yeah, we have that on our website too. It seldom stops there. They always migrate up for quote unquote like a bigger fix. These crushers are using animals as they know that they register pain. I mean, nobody's going to want to use an animal or a stuffed animal because it's not going to get them the same type of results that these people that watch these films want. They want to see pain. They want to see agony. And so it's just a natural progression to go from animals to humans eventually.
You know, the only thing that probably stops them is that they obviously know it's difficult, more difficult if they obviously abuse humans on film, that obviously it's more difficult to distribute.
Well, believe it or not, these crushers actually do have film of these lifelike babies.
Mm.
They've sent them to me. They've sent them to the crush page where they stomp all over these lifelike children that are just dolls. But obviously that's where they're thinking about going. There are some films that are out there of just terrible brutalities against human beings. I'm hesitant to talk about the type of film that was just busted last year, but there were a group of people that decided they wanted to see what would happen if they crushed a human. And these people were caught very quickly. But when they went into their homes, they did find a collection of crush videos.
Oh, okay.
So there is a connection there. It's obvious. I mean, the FBI have been talking about this for quite some time.
I think, you know, most countries and most police in the countries, or probably all of them, it's not rocket science. They must be aware of the connection, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
The FBI has done in-depth studies, and they do. The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigations here in America, has agreed that there is a connection to childhood animal brutality moving up towards serial killing.
Mm. Oh, I absolutely have no reason not to believe that. You know, the thing obviously is that it cannot be used as an excuse either. So it needs to be stopped early. I mean, that's the thing. You know, we talked about it last time, so to speak. Education is the key. You were just saying it there. You know, you have to get them young, which I totally agree, because obviously, you know, before the conditioning gets too bad. When you look again at statistics, or it was, what is the norm in the world, is that most kids or most people would eat meat before they can talk.
Yes.
And so you were basically also saying, and I absolutely agree, is that respect for all life. So the whole veganism then, which is obviously, that would be the logical way to go, even sort of given that obviously meat is no longer really sustainable.
Right.
But is that a problem that you have, you know, I mean, because you're fighting against it, you must have people that say, you know, you've got nothing better to do, you vegan like... You know, I mean, I get it all the time. You know,
we get it all the time.
We've been getting it before Marla founded StopCrush.org. We were, you know, we all had our own brand of advocacy elsewhere before we got into going against Crush Video. Mm. And we see this all the time, just as you would and anyone else, because, the human meat addiction is pretty prevalent, obviously.
Yeah. And everybody, you know, as Dave Warwick always said, everybody's in on the lie.
Yes, they are. So, another problem that we have is that these people, these crushers, in general, this would not be accepted in your local community. It wouldn't be accepted if you came out and your church groups found out that you were doing this at home, crushing animals to death on camera for money. And it has been an underground thing for a long time. And a lot of people don't know that it exists. I mean, we get it every day. I mean, how many times a day, Marla, do we have people just saying, I never knew about this, I never heard of this before?
We get it at least 2 or 3 times an hour, and those are just the people that have discovered it. So, given the statistics, there's quite a few people out there that still don't know. In fact, more people in England know about Crush videos than they do here in the United States.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I think, you know, the way we sort of, you know, rightly or wrongly, but the way we see America is obviously as still a very brute country where you can't really say all the things that we can say over here, you know. I always remember, you know, being in my 40s, when you watch all these Iron Maiden videos from the 80s, which are quite cartoon-esque, and they would still get in trouble. You know, they would try to stop Kiss from playing. They would try to stop Alice Cooper from playing because they're all the devil. You know?
Well, it's a bit odd. Comes in cycles, it seems like, every 10 years or so. I mean, it's a Puritan country, and then it goes from one extreme to the other. These cycles are very normal, I think, for a country, depending on the type of atmosphere of its leadership and perhaps external events as well.
Yeah.
Economic. Of course, plays into it. So you'll see these things kind of go cyclic over time.
And the only option that you have is to keep at it, whatever the current climate of people is. You know,
we just can't stop. We have to keep getting the awareness out there. And the most important thing too is that we need to let people know that. Legislation has to be introduced into countries in order for things to change. For us, especially on our website, we have legislation and addresses and email addresses and phone numbers where to contact their senators and their legislators so that they can voice their opinions and urge them into the direction that we need them to go. There are bills on the floor right now that we need turned into law. And petitions also help. We do have an international petition.
Yeah, I saw that, and I put it up on the website. So for all the people want to know what it is, on wildtimeonline.blogspot.com. So just to let people know, obviously, that outside of the states, you can still do something. Even though, Anthony, you were saying last time that obviously petitions alone do not bake the cake.
Well, what I was saying was that petitions alone, yes, they don't hold as much weight, especially within our borders. Now, if a constituent writes to their senator or their congressman, it definitely holds more weight. However, an overseas petition will show that other countries have a foul taste when they look at the way that we're dealing with our animal brutality laws. And that holds a little bit more weight than even a petition from inside our country.
And is it happening? I mean, obviously, yes, I know. I know that you have, you know, sort of followers and that people like your work. At the same time, you know, your volunteers.
Yes.
You know, so there's only so much you can do. And I think, you know, the people that create those videos count on that. That you will eventually retire.
Yeah, we don't always get the sleep that we would like to. We do have an excellent group, though. We have Irish Cornair, Sheila Krasinski and her husband Chris, Joe Ferreira, Skylar Mitchell Jordan, and Michelle Yorty. They are the other members of the Stop Crush and Ayala team. And I told you a little bit about Ayala. That's the Alliance for Earth, Life, Liberty, and Advocation. That's our sister group. That's where we deal with a lot more than just Crush Video. But really, the supporters have given us the strength to do this, to keep going. I have to be honest. And it's also the supporters from overseas. We have a lot, just as you mentioned. A lot from the UK. They give us a lot of support. And without them, without them, we wouldn't be able to go on. We wouldn't be able to do this.
I mean, the other thing really is that I know it all sounds brilliant when people listen to this and they say, like, oh, they get all the support they ever need. Because, you know, you were saying, Mala, that obviously you get it quite a number of times a day that people say, I didn't know about this. I've heard that before when people go from Taiji in Japan and go to Tokyo and show it to the ordinary Japanese, they don't even know that they kill dolphins there.
Yeah,
and when they know it, they are all shocked. But obviously only a tiny percentage would then do something about it.
And well, that's true, and it's sad. Yeah. It's sad that people in their own country don't know what is going on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Americans that don't know what's going on in America. So, I mean, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah. And it shows it can't be a good thing, otherwise it would be out in the open. So there's still a moral compass that is intact, and you just have to find it in people, isn't it?
It is hard to find, I think, but I think the point of reference would be our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And our moral outrage. But we can't let that swallow us up, our moral outrage. We have to do something positive in order to affect a worthwhile change.
Absolutely.
But you're right. You know, it's been difficult trying to let a lot of people know in China, Korea, where a lot of these films were being made initially, but you're seeing them now sprouting up all over the place, really. Because their internet has been so limited, and we're using, obviously, the internet to try and get the message across.
Yeah.
So that's been more difficult for us. But we do have a lot more supporters from Asia that are coming onto the page and contacting us in other ways to try and get the message across. So that's good.
Yeah. Do you have obviously, sort of be volunteers and then dealing with lawmakers. Do you have anybody that works with the law that helps you with the cases, make suggestions, and, you know, how to go about it? Or do you have a background yourself? Is it like, no, you know, my background is in law, I can do that? Or
I do actually have somebody in my family that has legal background and has helped me through it with some of the legal terms. He's been really helpful. Also, you know, when you contact the Federal Bureau of Investigations and ask them questions, they're very helpful. I mean, they really do want to work with the public to try and... I mean, in the beginning, when I first found out about Crush Videos, I contacted them and sent them the videos and said, what are you doing about this? And they were back saying, they said, well, if you could get a law passed, we could do a lot about it, you know. So
okay.
That's when, you know, a dialogue became open and we were able to... ask a lot more questions, so they really are very good about that sort of thing. So is Interpol.
Yeah, but the interesting thing also is, you know, and I don't mean it that bad, you know, I'm really a positive guy actually, but often when you talk to the FBI or whatever and they say, look, you know, if we have a law about this, then we can do something about it, it still sounds like passing the ball, because
you have to understand that, well, the FBI isn't responsible for making a law.
I understand that.
Actually, in America, we as citizens are the ones responsible for making our laws. We're the ones responsible to call our congresspeople, tell them that we need a certain law. This is what we need in our communities. Then the congressman will draft something. He'll put it through with his other congresspeople. If there are enough congresspeople behind it, it will get voted on. If it moves, if it gets voted on positively, more people, more congressmen voting for it than against it,
yeah,
it will then move to the Senate, and then the Senate has to vote on it. And once it passes the Senate, then it goes on to the President's desk, and he can either veto it or sign it into law.
Mm. There wasn't necessarily anti-FBI here. What I'm saying is that, you know, with the crash videos, the problem is obviously that even if you manage sort of broadly, it's very important to get this obviously out there. But because the people that do such a thing are clearly mentally disturbed.
Just
because you get them off the internet, you know, does not stop their behavior. That's what I mean. So obviously there's much more needed than just stopping the crash videos. Because if when you look at your, you know, when you say that it was 3,000 that you know of in 1999, and it's probably, it's way more now. It also shows.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah, these people at the very least need serious psychological help.
Yeah.
At the very least, if you're not locking them up and just throwing away the key.
Even though, you know, just for the listeners out there, I don't really care about their well-being that much.
I understand.
You know,
but
obviously what I'm saying is that because there are always loopholes and they can always move on to something.
Right.
One of the ideas that we have here for years and never get through here, at least in Ireland, is basically we said like everybody who would be or gets convicted on an animal cruelty charge, when they move, the people need to know who they are.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, the FBI they are interested in doing that, actually, where they want to create a database for animal abusers. Yeah, they are talking about that here, where if a person is charged with animal cruelty and convicted, they would have to put a sign in their window on their front door. Yeah.
Okay.
That has been going around. They've been doing a lot of talk about that, so I actually kind of support that myself because I do think that they're dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, probably the sign in the window, you know, since you Americans all have weapons, if you believe the hype, you know, puts them in danger. So probably, but for the people to know that someone lives among them, I think is really important, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I would like to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the other thing really is that you know, the tendency of people is to be very understanding, and they all go like, you know, everybody needs a second chance, you know, this kind of way. He has done his time, or she has done her time. Obviously, in reality, you know, when it comes to employing someone, they will look at it unkindly. But very often, obviously, because of the sheer number of people that do that, there's always a risk, especially in a big country, where they can fall under the radar. So obviously, working with people like the FBI or something on it becomes essential then. So I know this is an interview that goes out on air, and that's, you know, that's why we're all trying to be nice. But is it really easy to work with all these guys? Because I also know from interviews that I did with other groups in America that animal rights groups or activists are not always being looked at as kind and intelligent and understanding people that ought to be supported by the government or an organization.
Well, there's a lot of emotions flying around. People get very upset when they see this abuse, and understandably, okay, that's understandable. We all get upset over this abuse. But with us, we try to do our best to maintain a certain level of understanding of what we need to accomplish. And that will supersede our reacting out of base anger and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do that, then what's going to happen is a lot of people are going to be turned away. They're not going to hear what we have to say.
Yeah. And to be honest, as animal activists, usually we're not the ones that really blow up things. Because if you actually...
Are you referring to the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That law was, to me, in my opinion, was specifically put into action because they knew darn well that they were going to go after all the wolves, and that effectively silenced a lot of people that couldn't join together outside of any kind of public buildings, departments, that also included national parks. And that was very smart on their side, on the government side, to do that. That was something that Bush put in place, I believe.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You know, there's restrictions put on people that try to go to do something good.
Yeah, it's definitely being challenged.
Right now, I think that if, say, you know how we have animal rights groups that are against hunting? If they actually go into the woods and... you know, walk up to a hunter while a hunter is in the process of shooting something, an animal, and just say hello to the hunter can actually prosecute them for harassment.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think it's down to that level at this point.
Wow.
It is being challenged in court right now. Several other people were at a peaceful protest. They were arrested, and it is being challenged at present. Those laws sometimes are specifically put in for economic reasons.
I mean, yeah, the other thing, like, you know, when you quote unquote, let's say, attack someone for saying, look, you know, there are so many animals that you kill, they're not killed humanely. Even if you leave the veganism out of it, and you say they're not killed humanely, you have a big industry on your hands that is trying to survive, you know, and every second ad on television has dairy interests.
The factory farming, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously, that's why, I mean, life obviously will continue to be difficult, you know. So I'm glad that there's a petition for the people outside of America, and also obviously glad that there is one inside of America. What's the next step? Because, you know, Anthony, you were saying, you know, it has to go, or it goes to the Senate, and then, you know, in eons of
right
time...
H.R. 5537 has passed the Congress, and it's up to the Senate now to vote on it. Now, I believe the Senate, Marla, do you know when they go into recess, or have they?
Yeah.
They've already gone into recess. They'll be coming out of recess by September.
Okay.
So we have to wait for them to come out of recess, and then they're going to vote on it. Hopefully, they're going to vote on it. Hopefully, they'll rewrite it the way we'd like it to read.
Well, we still urge people to write to them and email them on their vacation.
Yeah, but that's the best way to go, because that's basically the question that I wanted to ask, is that obviously now you have to wait, you know, and the animals obviously can't afford people to wait around, and I know that you actually do not wait around.
No, and that's what
you
kills
know, obviously, so that's
know.
Nothing that I just wanted to make sure also as well, that yes, you give it to the politicians, and you know it's a very slow process. So in the meantime, you know... You were saying, man, obviously it makes sense to continue calling them and write emails. Is there a strategy that you have if they say, you know, actually we didn't vote on it, it's not important enough for us?
Well, we were pushing everyone to write their senators prior to the recess. We were really trying. And we knew that they were going to recess. We didn't know that they were going to go early into recess, which they did. They changed the date.
Oh, okay.
More than likely, that has something to do with the fact that there's an election coming up, election year, you know, so...
Yeah.
That's the way politicians work. I mean, it's just that simple. So what we're going to do is just keep at them, even while, like Marla said, while they're on vacation, have everyone continue writing their emails, continue making phone calls. And if we can actually get this law pushed through in any fashion, the way we'd like it, after that, what we'd really like to see is people going after and basically rooting out the crushers, finding out where the producers are,
yeah,
and who they are, so that we could bring them, you know, to justice.
Justice, absolutely. And also, obviously, whoever is causing the problem, like, you know, the one that wants the video.
Right. It's not just the actresses, quote-unquote, but the producers, yeah, the directors. That's what we really want to get at, because these actresses, even if you find out who they are by looking at the video and you, you know, get a good idea on these people, who these women are, they will just be replaced after these girls are thrown in jail. Mm. These producers are going to keep on making these videos.
Exactly.
They're going to keep making their money.
Yeah. That's why it's important to also hunt down the people that actually want to own that, because obviously,
yes,
you know, it's a buyer's market.
We definitely want to make it illegal to even own it. And we also want to start setting up, we have been setting up more locations overseas as well, because we plan on tackling this globally, along with other issues.
Mm. So. Which is the way to go, because, you know, unless we talk to one another and try to find common ground and then work things out, you know, we're still a minority, even though, you know, there's more and more people going into animal rights and do their stuff, you know. When I walk to town, still a minority, you know. So in a way, I think we really do need each other in that quest. And so obviously, on the long run, the idea would be to close all the loopholes, so there's no way of producing it anywhere by going down, coming down hard on anyone that is anything to do with it. Are there ideas, obviously, you know, the petition writing, do you think it makes sense, I mean, because this is obviously, people try this for 200 years, to get animals some status of being people rather than things and property?
Yes.
Well, I think here in America we had we had more of a chance of getting corporations considered people as than we did animals. So.
We need to change that.
You're right. We do have to make an effort to make people feel as though animals are equals to humans. We do need to do that. It goes right back to what we said before, to where we need to start teaching children early the value of all life.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people do get it, you know.
Absolutely, but they still feel, you know, and I think that's the thing, because they're already conditioned. They think they've been preached to.
Right.
You know,
when you
ask the question, a really nice question, you know, you have these two pictures of a puppy and a piglet, and you say to the child, look, you know, are they both cute? Yes. So why don't you eat one? You know, you're already preaching, even though that's a completely valid question.
Well, we get it a lot.
You know,
people will tell us, you know, you eat a cow, what's the difference? You know, and
exactly. But the difference is you wouldn't eat one.
I mean, me personally, I don't eat a cow. I'm vegan. But, I understand. I understand the argument. What's the difference between a cow and a dog? Well, to me, there is none.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all life to me is very, very sacred, and I do my best not to destroy life in any fashion. But then again, what is 95% of the world eats cow? So,
and where's
but
leather,
only a few, you know. Only a small percentile will eat dog.
Yeah.
And
yes, but I think
say,
again, it's going to be coming down to. Like what Anthony was talking about earlier in regards to factory farming, it's the way that it's packaged to us. It's the way that it's been advertised. And that's half the bottle right there. You know, these commercials come out about it. And the westernized society likes to take animals and put them into cartoons and things like that. They use them to sell products. So you're right then and there, you're desensitizing them to terms that these are sentient beings, if you're going to characterize them. So this is the same kind of problem we run into a lot in advertising. That's part of the part of the battle right there.
Agree.
I think the other thing, obviously, is like, you know, that with that people, when you're conditioned to a situation, you don't think it through. You know, they take the habitat of an animal. They travel to a faraway country to get an exotic animal. And then they have to put it in a cage because the animal is essentially wild. And then they blame the animal. If you wouldn't be wild, you would probably be my friend.
Yeah.
You know, so the concept is very strange to begin with. You know, because apparently when you talk to someone that works in a zoo, they usually work in a zoo because they want to do good. When in fact, you know, they're like prison officers.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. We are at a point now where we're caging our wildlife, putting them behind bars, and we're losing sight, I think, really, of the soul of this planet.
Yeah, because that's the main difference, obviously, between animal welfare and animal rights. That welfare gives them bigger cages and better conditions.
Right.
You know, and obviously, so you know, I have nothing against welfare, but I like the idea of having rights more.
No, I understand. Yeah, I agree. And it goes back to what I mean. Even you said it yourself. I mean, I've met a lot of people that worked at SeaWorld here in the Orlando area, being in Florida, and I know some of those trainers, and they do love the animals, but I mean, I could never endorse SeaWorld. I don't believe in the zoo theory. I don't believe in animals being caged. I think that especially with what happened with the orca Tilikum recently, that was horrible. I mean... And you have to expect something like this to happen. And we felt horrible for the woman's family. We felt horrible for the animal being in captivity. Mm. I mean, all of it was just wrong from the start.
But again, it's not rocket science that it just doesn't mix well.
No, of course not. That's an animal that belongs in the ocean.
Yeah. But again, you know, I think that's that macho thinking, you know, the bigger the beast... You know, and I can control it this kind of way.
Yeah, we can tame it. We think we can tame it, and we can control it. Yes, I understand.
So it obviously remains it remains difficult, and it will continue to remain difficult. That said, I think being an animal rights activist, having that bit of, evolved sense of what's right and wrong, there's no stopping anyway.
Well, I think you're right. I think a sense of right and wrong is what's most important. And I think a lot of people do have a good sense of what's right and wrong. I mean, I think you and I, we were speaking about video games the last time we spoke.
Yes,
and
yes.
Whether video games, the depiction of violence, video games correlated to the depiction of violence in real life. And we also spoke about our friend. He is an outspoken supporter on the page, James Lewis Watson. He's a young child in the UK. And he actually is into the World of Warcraft, where there's quite a bit of violence.
Yeah.
When he found our page, he was thrown back. He was so disturbed by the images that he actually he put out a video that he made for his World of Warcraft games. And on the video, he gave us mention at stopcrush.org so that his friends and all the people that were watching his videos would come to our site so that they could help stop Crush Video. So obviously he knew the difference between what's real and what's right and what's wrong.
Mm.
So how do we separate the people who don't get it?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah,
well, again, family too. I think it comes back to family as well. I mean, we get a lot of letters from parents that are very open with their children, talk to them a lot about compassion. And when the kids have come to them saying, well, we came across this group and this is what's going on out there, the parents didn't just turn away from it and say, no, don't go to that site, don't help these people, that's just terrible. They contacted us and said, well, right, what is all this about, and how can we help? So, again, it goes back to what both of you were discussing earlier, where I think compassion is within all of us, but we really need to have it developed as children.
The other thing, obviously, is where you grew up. And how you have been conditioned, in the sense that I'm a sort of a city child, from Frankfurt, and I live quite rural here. So the people around me that live quite rural here in Ireland, they're much more used to seeing sheep passing by on their way to slaughter.
Oh yeah, you would. Yeah, that's true.
In the city, you just never see that stuff. And that's, that goes back to what you were saying about the packaging. It doesn't even resemble the shape.
No, that's true. I mean, I grew up very close to New York City, and I don't even think that I saw a chicken until I was about 15 years old and I moved to Florida.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. It does matter where you come from before you actually see for yourself and you understand. It's not the same as going to the supermarket and seeing, slabs of chicken under cellophane.
Effectively, when you go in there, if you are of an animal rights or let's say a vegan mind, what you see when you go in there is like a morgue of dead bodies.
Yeah, I see it that way now. Yes, you're right.
But before you sort of wake up or get woken up or whatever, you just don't see it.
No, you're right.
And that's the trick, isn't it? Because otherwise, I personally think, because it goes back to what you were saying, that people obviously have a moral compass and they know what's right and wrong. That obviously, if it would resemble that cute piglet, it would probably not be easy to sell it.
Well, and you're right. And what really gets people, what really does get people about Crush Video, and a friend of ours, mine and Marla's mutual friend, loves to point this out to everyone. Every animal that's associated with Crush Video is also associated with a childhood love or a childhood animal.
Mm-hmm.
They have bunnies, they have kittens, they have puppies, that's what makes it so vile.
Yeah,
it's a horrid. The more deviant they could make it, and the more torture that they could give to these animals, and a lot of it is oral stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, if you listen to the screams of these animals,
you'd
really understand. I mean, that's what hurts me more than any of it.
Yeah, doctors and psychologists have to look into this.
Well, they should, and these people should be rooted out, and they should be taken off the streets, as you said. They really should not be on the streets where they could reach our children.
Yeah, or other animals. If you ever get to that point where we see that we're all have pain receptors,
Well, true. And if people aren't worried about the animals, they should be worried about their children. Because if people around the corner are filming crush videos and they have these tendencies, your children are at risk.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Your own, I mean, and your pet might be.
Yeah, it's people seem to think that these videos are made in some, you know, dark location many, many thousands of miles away from civilization, and that's not true at all. It's happening in apartment complexes. It's happening in garages. It's happening in backyards.
Mm.
I mean, I've seen some of these films. They're actually doing this in a backyard. And so you can actually see a swing set across the way in somebody else's backyard.
And they obviously must hear this.
I don't know if they're doing it during a time when it's during the day. I mean, it's during the day when they're not there. I mean, to be honest, I can't sit through a whole video.
Of course not. Yeah, I understand that.
I can't do it. When we did some undercover investigation in the very beginning, part of gaining these people's trust was having to watch an entire video. And then you'd have to answer questions online of scenes in the video. Which is what made me a terrible undercover person, because I would just fall apart.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't an easy time, I can tell you.
It's just that's exactly the thing. It's that bit easier, you know, when you're sort of on the other side of the screen, and nobody knows what's going on, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can tell you that Marla and some other people that did go undercover, they went through hell.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
This was before they actually dismantled the law. What Marla and some of these people were trying to accomplish was to locate the perpetrators in this country so that we could, you know, expose them and bring them to justice. But as soon as the law was dismantled, there was no point in that. Because, I mean...
Yeah, what's the point?
Now you can't prosecute them anymore.
Well, not that I'm advocating that people should go undercover and go after these people because it's dangerous. I mean, these people are dangerous. You have to let the FBI run its... You have to let the FBI take care of it, because they're basically geared towards dealing with these types of people. They're not just into crush film. They're into all sorts of horrors.
Yeah, yeah. On the other hand side, you know, undercover is always part of making it known first.
Yeah.
You know, so apparently, gladly, there are still people like yourself that say, I'm going to do it.